it's so good to be here with you this morning. It's been a fabulous week at Island Adventure Camp, and I do want to thank all of you for being a part of that in all the different ways that you were, through giving, through praying, through volunteering, through sending your kids, your grandkids. It's just been such a fabulous week at Island Adventure Camp, and I just want to thank you all so much for being a part of that. This week's theme all week long, we just went over it, we've talked about it a bunch. When I was looking for curriculum for what to do for Island Adventure Camp, and this theme came up, life is wild, God is good. And I was like, yes, true. And I just loved that there was so much reality in the message of real life. Real life has a lot of tension in it, a lot of hard times, but also has good times. We want to celebrate that too. And I felt like we really needed to come to that place of balance where we're finding that these things are true. Life is hard. Life is sad. Life is scary. Life is unfair. And yet, there is that tension that God is good. And so that's where I want to begin today. What I'm pretending is that I've invited you all back to join the children and I in Rooted Kids. And so today you're going to be hearing a Bible story as if you were in children's ministry with me today. I hope you're okay with that. One of the things I prayed a lot about what God wanted me to share with you today. What he put on my heart was tell my story. And this is his story. And you can find it in your Bible. You can find it in the Bible app we talked about. In the pew in front of you, there's Bibles that look like this. And we're just starting not quite at the very beginning of the story. We're kind of going a little ways into the story. But I want to tell you that story. But first, I do want to pray for the Holy Spirit to speak through me. So, like I said, you're kids today. So I'm going to talk to you like you're kids. So we're going to close our eyes. We're going to put our hands together. And the reason why we do this is so that we're focused. We're spending attention. We're giving our attention to God. We're telling him things. And we're agreeing together that this is what we want to say to him. So, God, I thank you so much for the people here. I thank you that you have brought each person through the doors today to hear your story. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open my mouth to the words that you have for the people today, for the hearts of the people today, that through this story, God, we would feel the truth of who you are, we would know the truth of who you are, and that we would be able to apply that truth into our lives as we move forward. God, I thank you for this message, and I pray that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. So a long time ago, there was a man. His name was Abram. And he was a man who trusted God, so much so that when God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you, which is kind of like a promise. He said, if you leave the land that I am showing you, or land that you're living in, and go to the land that I will show you, I will. So that was the promise right there. That was Abraham's part. He had to leave where he was and go to the place that God would show him. And if he did that, if he showed that he had faith in God, that he trusted that God would do what he says he would do, even before he saw the whole thing, God said these things. I will make you a great nation. I will give you the land that I will show you. I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And through you, the whole world will be blessed. Abraham did believe God. He did trust God. He had faith, and he believed that God would do what he said he would do. And so out he went. He left what he knew, and he went to what he didn't know. Maybe you can hear some of those things. Think about the ways that these things are true. When life is scary, trying something new that you've never done before. When life is unfair. Hey, I have everything I need here. Why do I need to go? That's not fair. Why aren't you asking someone else to go? When life is sad, I got to leave all the people I know. That's sad. God is good. So that's what Abraham trusted. He left that land and he went to the place that God was going to show him. God didn't tell him where it was. He said, I will show you where it is. So he stepped out in faith and went towards that. Now, let me talk about tension and waiting. 25 years. He didn't leave and then God said, oh, good for you. Here's your baby. Here's the fulfillment of the promise that I gave to you. No. There was a lot of life that had to be lived between Abraham leaving the land and going to the place that God would show him, and him keeping his, showing him what his promise would look like. So 25 years later, God had Abraham and his wife Sarah. They had a son, and his name was Isaac. And today I'm going to be skipping a whole bunch of the story, but if you are looking for it, it is in the Bible. It's in the book of Genesis. And if you read through that, you're going to find the narrative of who God is. You're going to see his character develop through all of these different stories as he shows himself faithful, as he shows himself that he is the promise keeper, as he shows himself a God of love, as he shows himself as a God who forgives. So I'm going to skip really important stories. They actually are really important, but I want to get to the part where we're going to go ahead to Abraham's grandson, Jacob, who later had a name. God is in the business of doing this, changing names. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, and Israel had 12 sons, and one of those sons was named Joseph. And Joseph was hated by his brothers because he was special to his dad. And so he got special treatment. He got everything that he wanted, and plus some special coats, special things, and he was really hated by his brothers to the point where they wanted to kill him. And so instead of killing him, they did sell him as a slave, which they thought in their minds that that was basically the same sentence of killing them themselves. They just wouldn't get their hands dirty. So along the way, Joseph goes, he goes to Egypt, and again, I'm going to miss a whole lot of the story. His life was very, very unfair. He was a slave. He was accused of things he didn't do. He had to live far away from his family. And in the midst of it, Joseph somehow remembered that God is good. He remembered that through this turmoil, through all of these things that were happening in his life, that God is good, and he continued to trust him and see his faithfulness even through these hardships. And so Joseph was in this land, and this is the part where we kind of jumped into the story at Island Adventure Camp this week, is when the Israelites, when Joseph's family, like I said, I'm skipping a bunch of the story, but basically Joseph ended up being raised up to be second in charge of Egypt to help avoid an environmental crisis, and he's helped to save a whole bunch of people by making sure that they had enough food. Joseph's family heard about them saving up food in Egypt. They went to buy some. Joseph recognized them. They didn't recognize him. And eventually through the story, he saw that their hearts had changed. There was forgiveness that came. And Joseph invited the family to move to Egypt. Jacob prayed about it, and God told Jacob to move his family to Egypt. Skipping a bunch of the story. Many, many, many years later, 400 years later, there is the Israelites. They're no longer just a family of 70 people. They're now a people of about 1 million people. I don't actually know how many there were, but they're somewhere around there. So 70 to this great big nation. And the Egyptians saw how big this nation was getting, that they weren't just this small little thing. They were strong, they were mighty, they could do great things. And the Egyptians responded, as we do a lot, in fear. And the response in fear was that, well, we can't let them get too big. We can't let them, what if somebody comes and they want to take over Egypt and then the Israelites join them and then we'll be beaten? They're way stronger than us. I know what we'll do. We'll make them slaves. So they hired these brutal slave taskmasters to work the Israelites. At this point in the story, life is unfair. God is still good? The Israelites were still under the same covenant that had been passed down from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob through all the different families, that God said that he would be with these people, that he would bless them and all of these things. How could it be that there's this tension that life is unfair? But what's true, kids? God is good. That's right. God is good. Could God still be good when bad things are happening? Can God still be good when life is unfair? Those things don't fit very neatly together, at least not in my head. He is. He is still good. We don't always experience it that way in our humanness, but he is still good. There's this tension, these two things that don't fit well together. They're really hard to put in the same box. So we kind of have to hold them in this tension of life is unfair and God is good. Both are true. In order to think that God's is good, it's easier for us to believe. I know for me, I like to think that God is good when my life is good. That's pretty much the like how I try to like process this, is that when life is good, God is good. When life is hard, I don't know. Anyone else feel that way? How can he still be good? One thing that I am learning, and I want to let you know that I am learning it, it's not something that just kind of sits in my mind as, oh, this is easy, this is okay. I have to work on this and process it and tension with it and move with it, is that life isn't unfair because of God. Life is unfair because of a rebellion against God's goodness to us. What is unfair also is God's love for us. He still loves us even in our rebellion. So let's continue on our story. So Israel, they moved, they're living there. Now they're slaves in Egypt. They've been crying out to God. They've been asking God to save them. They've been telling God, and they're wondering, where is God? How can we be in this 400-year break of God not speaking to us or coming to our rescue? We're in pain. He said that he would do these things, and I don't see it happening. I don't see how God is good in this moment. But God was at work. God was doing things. He was raising up a people that needed to trust him in a different way. He was raising up a visual or a thing that would be big and that they would be able to see and understand in a new way what is true about God. Jumping ahead again in the story, we get to this part where God speaks to a man named Moses, a man that he raised up from among the people of Israel, who had murdered someone, who had run away, who had tried to hide. And God chose this man to lead the nation of Israel for him, to be the spokesperson for him. That's who God is. He calls us all, no matter what your background is. Moses was out in the desert. And as he was out there, he walked up and there was a tree. And it was far away and he saw it and it looked like it was on fire. And he was watching the sheep and he would look up every now and again and it's still on fire. It's not burning up. It's not spreading. It's just on fire. And he's very curious about why is this happening? Why is this bush burning? So he leaves the sheep and he walks up. He gets up there and as he goes towards it, a voice speaks out of the bush. Talk about surprise. Moses was a little surprised. He knew that it was God, and God told him to take off his sandals, and he gave him a mission. He gave him something that God had for him to do. Moses' response in that, I'm scared. I can't do that. You mean someone else. I don't talk good. I'm not the person. Everybody in Israel hates me, not only the Israelites, but also the Egyptians. Why would you ever call me? I am scared. Don't ask me to do that. But what's true is when life is scary, what's true? God is good. He is good even when we're scared. In fact, that's sometimes a better place to be. I have to tell you, I'm a little scared being up here today. God asks us to do things that aren't always easy because we learn to rely on him. We learn to trust him with our scared. We learn to know that he is with us even when we're worried or afraid. God is with us in those moments. He cares about us. God warns Moses that Pharaoh, the man that he was going to tell and ask the people, can you let these people go? He said, guess what? Not only am I getting you to go and speak to them, he's going to say no. Again and again and again. So your job's not easy. It's going to be hard. And you got to do it. I'm here with you. Moses, send someone else, please. I don't speak well. I'm hated in Egypt. No one will listen to me. I am scared. But when life is scary, God is good. What God was ready to do was he was prepared to show the people of Israel miracles. He was ready to show the people of Egypt power, his greatness, how he's in control of all things. He was ready to show the people that he is their God and there would be no denying of it. Everybody throughout the world, that known world, heard about the things that happened in Egypt and nobody could deny that God was real. He was with the people of Israel because of the things that he did there. Moses and Aaron went before the people of Israel and they showed the people of Israel the things that God had given to Moses to show that he was with Moses. So one of them, he like threw his staff down and the staff turned into a snake and then he picked it up and turned into a staff again. Another one, he put his hand in his cloak and he got like the skin disease and he pulled out his hand and it was, did it twice, once skin disease, once all clean. And the people said, wow, yeah, God is with you. Go to Pharaoh. Go to him. This is going to be great. Oh, finally, God is good because life is good. Pharaoh said no. And in fact, not only did he say no, he said make their work harder. Make their lives miserable. They now have to do the same amount of work without the materials. They have to get their own materials. Israel, the nation, they were so upset. They were so mad at Moses and Aaron for ever coming. Why did you change things? It was bad enough and now it's worse. Life is hard. Why did you make life hard? How can God be good? How is God with you when this is what happens to us? Not fair. Life is not fair. How can God be good when life is not fair? God was at work. He had a plan, but they couldn't see it. Just like in your lives and mine. Stuff's going on in your life. Stuff's going on in my life. Stuff that's hard, that's unfair, that's sad. We don't have this picture. Those of us that grow up in the church, we have this picture. Those of us that have heard these stories before, those of you that will hear all of these stories, we get this zoomed out picture and we're like, well, Israel, come on. Like, you're going to get out of Egypt. We know. We read the back of the book. Like, we know. It's going to be good. But they're in it. They can't see that. Their view is this big. Just like your life. Your life doesn't have this zoomed out look. It's small, just like the Israelites. So the plagues start coming. The plagues were scary. Think about it. What if the Campbell River turned to blood? What would that smell like? What would that look like? How would we feel about that? I mean, like, we don't have a big picture. All of a sudden, the Campbell River is turned into blood. Gross. I think we'd be a little bit worried. We would definitely hit the news. Like, it'd be a big deal if the Campbell River turned to blood. What about if there were swarms of flies? How do you feel when there's one fly in your room at night when you're trying to sleep? How does that feel? Not so good, at least not for me. Get that fly! Swarms of them, everywhere! Not good, right? Where's God in this? How can God be in this? I mean, wouldn't he protect us from these things that are happening? What about the gnats? What about the locusts? What about the people that died? What about the boils all over their bodies? What about all of these things? How can God be good when these bad things are happening? God has this zoomed out picture that we don't see. And what's true about God, and is always true about God, no matter what we're experiencing, is that he is good, even when we don't see it or feel it. Finally, after the terrible plague, where God says to the Israelites, there is going to be an angel of death that comes through. And what you need to do is you need to prepare this special meal. It's an important meal that we still kind of look at today a lot, especially when we celebrate what's true about God and when Jesus came and how he fulfilled the promises that are written in the Bible. The Passover. God said, you need to take a lamb. You need to kill it and you're going to eat it in your meal. But before you do that, you need to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts of your house. Because that's an outside visual of what you are believing on the inside. You're believing that I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. I said I'm going to come through and I'm going to kill the firstborn son of every person that doesn't have the blood of the lamb over the door. After that happened in Egypt, and that's what happened, those that had the blood over the door, they were safe. Those that did not, their firstborn son died. It was time for Israel to leave Egypt. I don't know about you, but when change comes, sometimes I'm kind of a mixed bag with change. If I plan it and I'm ready for it and I'm the one that decided that change is happening now, it's good. If change happens in my life that I don't have control of, not good. Not a fan of change. It comes and I'm like, okay, wait, just give me 2 days or a week. I have a really hard time with change. And it kind of scares me because I don't know. I'm a preparer. I want to know what's going to happen next. I want to be prepared for all the things. And God is working on my heart on that. He's changing me, which is good, but it'll be a lifelong struggle, I'm sure. The Israelites were slaves. They were slaves in Egypt, and everything was kind of lined up for them every day. They knew what they were going to do. They knew where their food was going to come from. They knew where they were going to go home to. They knew what the next day was going to look like. They knew who their neighbors were. All of the things just kind of as ungood, is that a word? No, not really. Well, I guess. How not good their lives were as slaves, it was predictable. And sometimes that's where we like to be, where life is predictable. But God had something different for them. So brings them out. They go through the Red Sea. They get to the other side. And now life is unpredictable. It's scary. They don't know when their food is going to come. They don't know what it's going to look like. They don't know what water they're going to get. They don't know where they're going to live. They don't have a daily schedule. They don't have any of the things that have been normal for them in the past. Now they have to wait on the Lord and trust him in this. And for them, it's scary. When life is scary, what's true? God is good. And when life changes, God is good. God was bringing the people into Egypt, and he had some lessons to teach them, and maybe these are some that you're learning. God says, I'm going to change things so that you know that I am your provider. I am the one that gives you everything you need. God's going to change things, and he's going to say, I am your guide. I will take you to the places I've promised you. Follow me. God changes things, and he reminds us that I am your God. Worship me alone, and blessings will come down. God says when he changes things, I am your protector. As you go into battle, I will be with you, and I will be your helper. Change is an opportunity for us to move our focus from the mundane and the ruts in our lives to the miracles that are actually already happening around us. We notice them more when life changes. The Israelites entered into the promised land, but because they were scared and they didn't have faith that God would be with them, they ended up having to stay in the desert for 40 years as they waited. They waited because their faith, they didn't trust that God was enough. They waited because they had pride. They waited because they had fear. And now they felt hopeless in what they were doing. They didn't know that they could trust God so that they would be prepared for battles and that he would be with them. Their fear of the unknown, the fear of change, held them back from the things that God had for them. God has good things for you. What is fear holding you back from? He's got really good things for you. Listen when he's calling you. The Israelites had a choice. Do they choose to trust God and all of the things that they've seen, or do they live in fear and refuse to go? The majority of the Israelites chose fear. It was scary. They knew they weren't warriors. It's not who they were. They had been slaves and they built bricks and things like that, so they were pretty sure their skill set wasn't set for being warriors going into the land. And in the land wasn't just open and free for them to go into. There were giants in the land. Even though God said, I would be with you, they felt like that wasn't enough. They learned through those 40 years that he was. But because of Israel's fear and disobedience, God told Moses that the adults of the nation would never enter the promised land. Never. And they had to know that raising up their children, they needed to prepare them to trust God. Are we raising up our children that way? Preparing them for what is coming in our culture? Preparing them for what's coming in the years ahead of us? That they will trust God, that they will move towards him, that they will know no matter what is happening, that God is good. The Israelites had to train up their children that way because they knew as adults they weren't going in. The children were going to go into battle for them. They would be older. They would be 20 to 40 years old, but they were still going to be going into battle against that. This was a sad time for Israel. They failed miserably. There was lots of sadness that had happened throughout this Israelite story. There was so much tragedy and loss. There was so much pain for these people in the years that led up to this place. But in the midst of our sadness, and this is probably the hardest tension for me, is when life is sad, God is good. That's a hard one. Because good and sad, those probably are the hardest for me to like, yep, I can hold both of those at the same time. I can't. They're really a struggle for me. What do we do with that? In fact, I think it's a problem with our culture. I was thinking about it. How do we answer? If I was to ask you guys, you'd answer this question. Ready? How are you doing? Yeah, I thought so. Right? You're all good. All of you. Fantastic. That's how we answer people because we're not prepared or ready to sit down and be like, hey, I'm sad. What if somebody said that to you? You're in the grocery store and they're like, hey, how's it going? Sad. Have a good day. Where would we go with that? And I agree, grocery stores aren't a great place for a good, hard conversation, but we have to get used to knowing that there are other emotions and other feelings that are good, and it doesn't mean that God isn't good. We can be sad and God still can be good. In fact, it's important, as I'm learning, to be sad when things are sad. But it is also important to remember that God is good even when we are sad. Even when sad things happen, God is good. Hold those two. Learn to live in that tension. Can you imagine what the tone and the feeling of the camp of Israel felt like when Moses came back and said, the message from God is this. None of you adults are going into the promised land. Because of your disobedience, because of your fear, you will stay here, you will die here, and the children will go in and they will receive the land. Some awfully sad people. And they would have to turn that around and go, okay, what are we going to do now? What are we going to teach our children so they are prepared to trust the God who has brought us this far? We don't want to end with sad. Sometimes it does, but this time we want to end with celebrating. And that's how we ended our week together. We ended with, when life is good, God is good. And that, I mean, Israel's story continues on. If you want to keep reading in Exodus and then into Joshua, you will read the story of how they have ups and downs and all arounds. It's not a story that goes like this for them. They have major highs and major massive lows. If you read through the Old Testament, you will see their history with God that goes like this, but there's something that is true. God is constant. He is always good, no matter what we're doing with our life, up or down. He is always good. The time finally came for the Israelites to cross into the promised land. All the things that had happened, God had raised up a new leader, Joshua, from among the people, and he was ready to lead the people into the promised land. God said, you need to bring the Ark of the Covenant. The Levite priests are going to take the Ark of the Covenant, which is the visual representation of God. That's what the Israelites used. When that was there, it was the presence and visual representation of God. And so that went ahead of the people. That's who needs to go before us. God goes before us and we follow. The Israelites or the Levites stepped into the river Jordan. And as they stepped into the river Jordan, the river built a wall on one side. God had to build a wall on one side, and the people of Israel walked through the Jordan River, the one thing they had looked at for years, waiting to go into that land, and now was the time. They quickly crossed over to the other side, and as they did so, Joshua commanded the people, God had commanded Joshua to command the people to grab a rock out of the middle of the river and bring it out, because they need to remember, just as we do, that when life is good, God is good. They needed to have that visual reminder, just as we do. We are visual people. We learn visually, which is why in children's ministry, a bunch of my storytellers, they use flannel graphs, they use skits, they use stories, whatever we can do with kids to get them to kind of engage that whole thinking and learning process. We want them to know and remember that God is good. And the same is true with you. Don't think that you change that much as adults. We don't. We need that too. So what do you have in your life? What is good that God is doing, and how are you celebrating that? How are you celebrating that God is good in your life? If you were with me in children's ministry right now in the back, we would go and we would build a bracelet or something. I don't know. We would make some kind of craft that you would take home with you so that you would remember when you would see that thing, whatever it is, that you would remember that God is good. God knows that we're visual people, and that's why he asked the Israelites, as they cross the Jordan River, take a rock and bring it out here and build a memorial. And when it's out here, people will walk by it, and your children will walk by it, and they'll say, what is that? And you'll say, God is good. God brought me from that place to this place now, and he is good. I could have brought my pipe cleaners and all of my beads, and we could have done that now, but I guess we're almost out of time, sorry. Life is wild. That's what the whole theme was. Life is wild and God is good. Life is wild is such a good way for me to think of that, because wild can be like, I think roller coasters are like wild, like scary wild. And some people are like, wild, like this is awesome. Wild kind of has that like word that encompasses a lot of feelings and emotions. Life is wild. Wild good, wild busy, wild crazy. Those are true. That is true. But what is also true? Okay, you guys know this one with me. You can all do it, not just the kids. God is good. That's right. When life is wild, God is good. It's so true. Take that with you today. God's goodness is best shown to us as we get into the next part of the Bible, where we get into the New Testament, and we see that God sent his one and only Son to earth to come as a baby, to grow up into a man, and to die on the cross for our sins. He came to be our rescuer. Talk about unfair. He didn't have to, but his love for each one of you is so deep and so wide and so strong that he came and he took your place. He died for you so that you can live without fear, so that you can live without worry, so that we can get to a place where one day we get to go and be with him and there'll be no pain or sadness. We can spend forever with him because of his love. He is always good. That is always true. No matter how we are experiencing the world, what God has for us going on, he is good. May each one of you know that you are seen, that you are deeply loved, and may you see this week the ways that God is good.